Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast, everyone. Pastor Grant here to kick off our six-week summer series in the book of Ruth called Unexpected Hope. Life just isn't predictable. It's full of the unexpected. And when that unexpected stuff happens, how are we supposed to respond? The unexpected leads us into key moments of trusting God, making courageous choices, and looking for a source of real hope. As we begin our journey through the story of Ruth, it's so encouraging to know that what is unexpected to us is not unexpected to God. And I believe God will lead you to look beyond your present circumstance and embrace hope as your reality. What do you do when the unexpected happens? What do you do? Because that's life, isn't it? A series of unexpected things to which we must respond somehow if we're going to make it. And the unexpected things that happen rarely mean good stuff. Sometimes, but very rarely, unexpected to us is far more likely to include a super expensive car repair you couldn't have seen coming that tanks your finances this month than it is to mean like you get a phone call after church from a long lost uncle you didn't know you had who has tons of money and wants to give it to you, right? Way more likely when unexpected shows up, it shows up like a moment of panic for us. When something unexpected and really tough catches you off guard, if your instinct is to be afraid, that's okay. If your instinct is to get angry or feel hopeless, find someone or something to blame for that unexpected thing, that's normal. People have been dealing with the unexpected and having reactions like that for as long as we've been around. It's no different for us than it was for people throughout the different biblical accounts, and specifically in the book of Ruth, which we're focusing on in our summer series called Unexpected Hope. My name is Grant. I'm one of the pastors here at Jacob's Well. I'm excited to be kicking off this six-week summer series in the Old Testament book of Ruth. I want to welcome anybody who might be visiting today. Welcome to those watching online. Now, if you haven't been around for a summer series, one of the best things about what we do in the summer is that we get an opportunity to hear from several voices that will be new to the stage, new to the speaking role, and it's exciting to work together with some of our younger leaders and people from different departments as a team to craft the outlines and to practice and to really pray through and talk through deeply the truth that we find in the book of Ruth. And you're going to hear about all of that truth and hear from those voices over the next several weekends. Now, the genre of the book of Ruth, it's a short little book. It's one of two books in the whole Bible named after a woman, which is very significant, and you'll see why. It's a historical narrative. That's the genre. These are some of the key historical figures in the lineage of King David and in the lineage of Jesus. These are very important figures in the history of the Jewish people. And while the book in short story form is too short to include every historical detail, every interaction among the people involved, it is important to know that this really happened, and the anonymous author, whoever it was very strategic in the details of the story that they include in their writing. They picked out key moments strategically in the action of the story and the choices that the characters had to make to communicate very powerful truths about God, about how God works in the middle of the unexpected, and how people facing the unexpected make choices empowered by God, guided by God, that then bring the fullness of God's plan and purpose into reality. So in the coming weeks, you'll hear messages about themes like loss, about searching for and finding a sense of home in the wandering of life, about personal courage against significant odds, about trustworthiness, about virtuous character, going out on a limb when the moment calls for it, and doing the right thing, even when it's costly. The book of Ruth is a very human, very relatable story, and the way it unfolds with the chaos of the unexpected swirling all around, it really puts the hope we have in God on display. A verse that displays that hope, it's our key verse for the series, it's Ruth 4:14. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. Now, you notice this is chapter 4, and chapter 4 is the last chapter of the story. So this comes at the end, when the characters have a chance to look back on all the unexpected things that happened, where people could have easily gone sideways and events could have easily collapsed, but instead, they look back with a perspective of hope, because what they see isn't just the unexpected stuff, they see God's response and God's plan in light of the unexpected. In all the ways that God brought hope into the story, in the middle of that stuff, as he guided people through the unexpected. It doesn't just end with that perspective of looking back on the unexpected, it also begins with the unexpected. Let's look at the first handful of verses from Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. So it's important to know that Israel at this point in its history didn't have a king. They hadn't yet clamored for a king. So this, while they had laws, this was kind of a, I'd say, a lawless period in their history, kind of how I think of the Wild West part of American history. Corruption was rampant, and while those laws were in place, religious laws, cultural laws, civil laws, the judges who enacted and interpreted those laws were inconsistent at best. Bad leadership, selfish leadership was the norm. So pretty much every political event, every historical event in those days would have felt to the people on the receiving end very unexpected and unstable. On top of that, there was a famine. Severe lack of adequate food that threatened people's survival. That's unexpected. Families were forced to make incredibly tough choices. This particular family was no exception. The family of Elimelech, which incidentally is very low on the list of popular baby names nowadays. This particular family, the family of Elimelech, including his wife Naomi, their two sons, moved away from their home in Bethlehem and went to Moab just to survive. And here's a map of the region, and you'll see how far their journey was, just how different a place they ended up in. This is home. This is Bethlehem. And this is probably the route they took, very mountainous region, down all the way underneath the Dead Sea, over to the land of Moab on the far side of the Dead Sea. Moabites were relatives of the Israelites. They were descendants of Lot, Abraham's nephew. Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation, and his nephew was Lot, so somewhat related, but the Moabites were also despised as foreigners, as pagans. So moving to Moab, way over on the other side of the Dead Sea, would have been, I guess, unexpected. I can imagine back home, people who knew Elimelech and Naomi and their kids calling their decision to move to Moab into question. What are you doing? Why would you go there? Isn't there anywhere else you could go to survive the famine? It was a hard choice to make. But like we know, if the unexpected happens and our family's survival is hanging in the balance, we're going to do what we got to do. If Elimelech hadn't moved his family to Moab, the rest of the story would never have unfolded the way it did. And you'll see how special that unfolding of the story really is when God's hands get on the story over the next several weeks. Let's continue with verse 3 in chapter 1. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. So Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died unexpected. Naomi was left widowed in Moab with her two sons, unexpected. I can only imagine. Over the next number of years, her sons married Moabite women. And I gotta say, unexpected, because culturally, this was forbidden. I don't know how many other Israelites in a big group maybe had emigrated together to Moab during this time, but whatever the case, these sons were supposed to hold out for Israelite women. That was the expectation, but they did the unexpected. 10 years in, both sons also died. Unexpected. And in the Israelite culture, that should have been the end of the story for Naomi, because women had no individual rights of their own. They relied on the identity and status of husband, sons, male relatives. So this really would have seemed like the end for her. Wow, that's a really short story and not very enjoyable if it ends there, right? But we'll see the rest of the story come together over these next weeks in beautiful and powerful ways that I think will connect with every one of us right where we're at. But let me set the stage by saying that what happens next, and some of you are familiar with the story, what happens next, all the key moments in the story involve some level of the unexpected. Bad unexpected and very good unexpected. People led by God make unexpected choices in response to unexpected circumstances, and you're going to see how their hope, how their trust make all the difference. But to ask it again, now that you've had some time to think about it, what do you do when the unexpected happens? How much of your last year has been totally predictable? Right? I hear the giggles, the snickers, the snorts, the guffaws, maybe, not yet, okay, maybe later. What about the last 5 years? Totally predictable? Are you where you thought you'd be? Did everything happen the way you thought it was gonna happen? What about beyond that? Hasn't it just basically been a series of responses to a series of unexpected things happening? And when the unexpected things happen, how do you respond? Because for me, hope has never been my first instinct. Never. It's the last thing. In fact, when the unexpected happens in my life and, you know, woe is me, it's typically a horrible thing, hope is one of the first things I lose. Disappears. And in general, in life, and I always have done this, I conduct myself as a fairly positive guy. I like to be an encouraging guy. I like to be hopeful even when others can't be. I like to be the guy who says things are gonna be okay even when confronting difficult realities. But when it comes to my own stuff and the unexpected happening to me, I feel hopeless. That's my first reaction. I feel lost. And as much good as has happened, I almost seem to forget everything I know and believe and everything I've experienced before. I get very cynical. I get this general kind of anger, just this, you know, subconscious anger that seeps out into everything I do, whether I try to control it or not. And what I end up feeling is just very defeated by the unexpected. And I'm like, is life really just a series of crappy, unexpected things happening and then dealing with it and muddling through? Oh, yes, yes it is. Oh, great, great. I don't like it. Hope, which is maybe the most difficult thing to come by when we're dealing with the unexpected, is the exact thing we need. So how do we get it? Well, I have another question for you. If the unexpected never happened, would you look for hope? If your last year, your last 5 years, your last 10 years were totally predictable, my sense is that you don't really know what hope would feel like. Because as I process through the unexpected, hope usually appears as part of what God leads me into as a response, eventually. Eventually I get to a point where I know I can't survive on fight or flight adrenaline every single day. I see finally with clarity the inaccuracy of my cynicism. I finally get to a point where I don't want my anxiety and depression to rule my perspective. Eventually, I cry out and start to look for ways to move forward. Eventually, I start to look for a source of hope. And if I can't find it in the moment, I make it a future hope, something that will tell me, that will give me some sort of confidence that things are going to work out. A hope that if I just keep going and surrender the details to God, if I keep waking up and trying every day with God's help, then things can get better. But if things were just predictable all the time, first of all, boring. I mean, most days I'd settle for that. But if things were predictable all the time, I don't think I would know what hope feels like because I wouldn't need it. I wouldn't need it. I'd be fine. If the unexpected never happened to you, you wouldn't need hope. You wouldn't need to know what it feels like. If the unexpected never happened, I'd have no reason to need to learn anything. I wouldn't have to adjust my perspective. I wouldn't have had to grow up. And if the unexpected never happened, and I didn't somehow learn how to journey into it and through it and out the other side, then I'm not me. This certainly isn't my life. And I would never know the power and love of a God who delights in showing up in the unexpected to bring hope to life. We'll see it in Ruth. We know it in our own lives. We see it all over in the stories of people everywhere. The unexpected and the way we respond to it is a huge part of what makes us who we are. I've realized over a long period of time, again and again, when I'm dealing with unexpected stuff, even the most painful stuff, eventually hope can work its way in and not just become part of my reality, but actually become the way I begin to see all of reality. The unexpected thing isn't the main focus anymore. The focus shifts to how God shows up and how God brings people into the story and how God brings about a new direction specifically because of the unexpected thing that happened. A better reality on the outcome side than I ever could have known had the unexpected not happened. Unexpected loss, unexpected pain, unexpected complication, those don't say all there is to say about the circumstance. In fact, it all becomes a backdrop against which the light of hope and clarity begins to shine. The unexpected situation isn't the end. It's usually the beginning of the next chapter. And it's important to remember that what's unexpected to you is not unexpected to God. What seems like it just catches you totally off guard does not catch God off guard. I'm sure you've questioned that. I certainly have. Moments of despair, wondering whether God is really there, or if God loved you as much as He says He does, and as much as people tell you He does, why does such difficult and unexpected stuff happen in your life? And when you're thinking about your own life, it's like it happens to you way more than it happens to anyone else. Everybody else seems fine. They don't get surprised by unexpected stuff, or if they do, they have plenty of money to deal with it, it seems like. But I'm sure that if you've been there questioning in those moments, and you're here, you're making it, you've made it this far, then you also have had moments along the way where eventually you look back on what you would consider to be the unexpected, the bad unexpected. And you don't just see that thing anymore. When you have enough time and perspective, you can look back and see God's hand in it. Not just showing up at the end to save you, but with you the whole time, guiding you in ways you could never have seen in the moment, making new things possible, giving you a new direction, growing you and shaping you, leading you to those key moments of making choices that lead to the next step, things that had to happen for you to become who you are. It had to happen. And it's never easy in the moment to trust that process. And I would never tell anybody to redefine a bad and painful thing as good in the moment. Give it time. It's hard to remember, even if we've experienced this many times over. Oh, God really was with me. Oh, God really was with me, I guess. Oh, I guess it's not just bad. God was there. It's important to remember but hard to remember that God isn't caught off guard. He uses the unexpected, works in the unexpected to get us to where we need to be, to orchestrate those interactions that we could not make happen on our own, timing, key moments that advance his plan, his love, and his hope. As I mentioned in the last message I preached up here a few weeks ago about repentance, in my own life, I've got tons of those key moments where without the hope of God that showed up, I would just look back on those things with tons of regret. But what's different as I look back on those things now that I couldn't see in the moment, with the experience I've gained and how the process works, crying out to God, surrendering to him, waiting on him, learning to trust him, and with what I've learned about believing that hope is real even if I can't see it, then no matter what my circumstances might be, even those things that I regret, I would never change, not in a million years. Those things happening is how I learned how to hope. It's how I became who I am. So here's some of the unexpected for me over the last 15 years. This is just some. I mean, these are the big ones, but, you know, the daily unexpected stuff, the little things that trip us up, that's all in there too. I lost a job in 2005, unexpectedly. I mean, it was my fault. It was due to prolonged, selfish, and addictive choices, but it was unexpected. I wasn't prepared, and it was so heavy, and I felt so vulnerable as a young 28-year-old guy, and hopeless, totally hopeless, because I didn't have a foundation at the time that was solid. But it also became the very thing, that bad unexpected thing, the very thing God used to show me what I didn't want anymore. I needed it. It had to happen. And in place of my old life, that was the moment when I finally began, for real, to hope for something new and different. A little over a year later, maybe a year and a half, sometime in 2006, 2007, I started to sense God's call on my life to become a full-time minister, which freaked me out so bad. This was not my plan for my life. That weight of calling, of knowing I'm meant to work always full-time, helping walk people who have been like me out of hopelessness and into real hope, that was not my plan. It was unexpected. And then in 2008, I became a full-time pastor. For the first time, I really had found that hopeful foundation, that clarity of knowing, yes, this is what I'm meant to do. This is who I am. It's what I'm all about. And without the bad unexpected stuff that started to teach me, this new and very good unexpected stuff that I never would have wanted would never have happened. Fast forward a few years to 2015, I found myself in probably to this day so far the most difficult season of my life, very hopeless feeling, confronting the reality that it was on my shoulders. I had to make a choice to tell the truth about an abusive system in a former church. And it cost me a job again. I resigned immediately in protest. And for the first time in many years, I again found myself unexpectedly without a job. And it seemed like all that had happened in the years leading up to this moment was for nothing. It led to a huge downward spiral for me. All my hopes seemed to disappear. All that identity and clarity, all the good stuff I would say like, yes, God has redefined my struggle and it's all good now. It all seemed like just struggle again for nothing. All loss, all heartache, all the time. Later that year, just trying to figure out what to do, partly because I needed a job and also because I very consciously stepped into a learning season where I could strip away all the junk and get back to the heart of Christ, I talked to a friend of mine, seemingly at random, who encouraged me to apply for a one-year chaplain residency at Mayo Clinic, which I did, and I got hired, and I had no idea what I was getting into. But what God used that time for, a very anxious time, he used it to teach me self-awareness. He used it to help me become more aware of others, those on the receiving end of my leadership and my care, to appreciate the sacred presence of God in those really intense moments of ministry when people are in the deepest places of need that they can't pretend away, usually because of unexpected, tragic, painful circumstances. I learned so much. I've often said in the years since then that I know now I needed to step away from the church to learn how to be a pastor, to start from the ground up. And while that year and getting into a new ministry context started with a lot of anxiety, I was in over my head at the time, a lot of insecurity and fear, it ended with a growing confidence and really, I would say, a reshaped heart, a new reality of hope. That God, yes, could even work in the places that I thought he couldn't touch. My deepest hopelessness and pain. To reveal his love, his plan, his goodness, and to move me in a new direction. And then as he was doing that work in me, at the very same time, I was beginning to find an ability, capacity to minister comfort and hope in new ways that without my difficulty, without my painful, bad, unexpected stuff, I just wouldn't have been capable of otherwise. Unexpectedly, after my residency year was finishing up, Pastor Paul, who I'd been journeying with for over a year at that point, just as friends and him mentoring me, he reached out to me about a staff position here, and that wasn't my plan. But my new direction brought me to Jacob's Well on staff as formation pastor in 2016, and it's changed shape a few times since then, but this place, I didn't anticipate being at. This became the place where all the new stuff I had begun to learn could crystallize, could take its true form. It became a place where the lessons I had learned about myself, about God, about people, translated into a new confidence in how I see myself as a leader, carrying myself with hope, not cheap hope, real hope, with courage, really wanting the best possible experience and growth for people under my leadership. This has been the place where I have been able to live in the reality of hope, a very good unexpected thing here at Jacob's Well, in response to a very bad unexpected thing that I would never have asked for. 4 years ago, the hopelessness of the unexpected sure felt like the end, but in truth, it was another beginning of hope in a new way for me. And now, again, somewhat unexpectedly, things are changing. My season of ministry as part of the staff of Jacob's Well is coming to an end. Many of you started to find this out early this past week. We started to make it known through a letter from me to you that got emailed out along with a video from me and Pastor Paul. And for some of you who maybe didn't get the email or talk to anyone about this yet, this is a very unexpected thing for you. I'm sorry. I hate disappointing people. I hate making choices that, even for good reasons, will cause sadness for people. But more importantly than what I hate is what I love. I love saying yes to God. I love following God where he leads me. It has never failed to lead me into the next experience of hope. I want you all of you to know that what I've learned about leadership, what has really sunk in about leadership as I've pastored as part of the staff here at Jacob's Well, has prepared me for my next step. Following God's leading, back to the hospital in a full-time staff chaplain role at Mayo Clinic. My last weekend here in my current role, leading worship, it's going to be sweet, is going to be July 13th and 14th. And then my first day as a chaplain in the cancer center at Mayo is July 15th. I've provided a map that shows what my journey is going to look like. Okay? Yeah. Because without it, I'm worried you guys wouldn't have any idea what I'm talking about. You can see Jacob's Well Church way over here on the other side of the Dead Sea. Oh, no, that's Dell's Pond. Okay. I'll probably take the route of Highway 53 to Galloway off of River Prairie and then end up down there at the hospital. I guess you could say I'm becoming a mayoabite. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. That might be the last dad joke I ever get to say up here. Now, this is not a perilous journey. This is not a long journey. I'm still going to live in my same house. I'm still very much going to be attached to Jacob's well. You'll see me show up here. Like I said in the video, I'll probably sneak in Saturday nights. And who knows, once this new unexpected thing translates into hope here, because someone's coming that you can begin to hope for as a worship pastor and pray for, it's going to be so good. I'm excited to come and see what God is doing. I'm excited to come in, maybe play in the back line on guitar in the shadows or something. But the other thing I want to let you know is this is not one of those bad unexpected things, okay? There's no bad unexpected thing that happened, no bad unexpected conflict or drama behind the scenes. I just want to make that clear. There's no bad thing that caused this to happen. This is part of the good but unexpected thing that God has been doing in my life and for our church. But it is unexpected. And the timing certainly is unexpected. And so instead of losing hope, I want to feel this for real. And I do. I feel the sadness. I've told people that this is incredibly difficult for all the right reasons. I so appreciate the kind words, the encouragements many of you have already shared with me. I have come to life in new ways because of Jacob's well, and those experiences will always be treasures to me. And without this, I wouldn't be ready to take my next step. But I want you to think about it, and I want you to think about it from your perspective, your story, those details that only you might know. Unless bad, unexpected things started happening to me almost 15 years ago, I couldn't have experienced any of the good, unexpected things God has done in that time. I wouldn't have chosen to change my life direction, and I would have ended up in a very dark place. I would never have chosen to become a pastor. I mean, I grew up as a kid thinking, pastors are lame. I can't imagine how boring their home lives must be. And they certainly can't have cool tattoos, so I'm out. I want no part of it. I wouldn't have learned, grown, changed in the ways I did unless what I had considered to be bad, unexpected stuff happened in my life. I would never have found the courage to make tough choices to do the right thing when it cost me. I wouldn't have had a reason to need a job and seek out a chaplain residency. I would never have chosen to go back to seminary a second time for a second master's degree, ever, believe you me. But I wouldn't also have come to Jacob's well. And I was meant to. I wouldn't have had my heart softened and shaped into a heart that now can thrive in the intensity of healthcare ministry full time. So much unexpected stuff. And at this point, I can say with confidence, so much hope as a result. So this is likely, at least in my current role, this is my last time speaking at Jacob's Well like this. And more than anything else, I encourage you, because that's who I am, I encourage you to embrace the reality of hope. One of my favorite scriptures, little verse, it means so much, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for that might right now be intangible. It's assurance about what we do not see, perceive, hear, understand, but we still can have assurance because God is at work in the middle of lives full of the unexpected, Don't limit reality to what you can see and feel in the moment. Don't limit reality to the circumstance alone. As you look around at all the unexpected that's happened in your life and all the aftermath, everything that has flowed in its wake, look also for those reasons you have to hope. My feeling is that to some degree, you know how this works. You've journeyed through the unexpected before. You're still here. And you know, if that's the case, as well as I do, I don't need to teach this to you, God does show up. People do show up. You find within yourself the resolve, the courage to keep going, to make choices that move life in very different directions than you anticipated. Well before you have any guarantee of a specific good outcome, you're making those choices. And then every part of it becomes part of the story. And the story is not of how unexpected things ruined your life, but of how unexpected hope became your reality in light of those unexpected things. So the Bible teaches us again and again to live by faith. And faith is not about certainty, and it's not about charging in with false confidence and false bravado. It really is about a simple, humble, gentle kind of confidence that says life is about more than maybe what I can physically see or feel in the moment. What I hope for, that's as real as anything else. With God, what you hope for can include God's ability to redeem what feels irredeemable, to restore what feels broken beyond repair, to transform anything where you feel stuck, but it can become something new, something beautiful. And this is not a fantasy. It's not fiction. It's an assurance far beyond what we can see, that God is at work in hidden ways, holding all the details we could never know or predict, and we can put our trust in him to do his thing in us and in our situations. I mean, really, without the unexpected, we would never experience unexpected hope. In all the tension of the unexpected, my encouragement is to embrace hope as your reality. We'll see how significant it is that the God who guided every person, every circumstance, every choice in the book of Ruth into a new and unexpected reality of hope is the same God who is with me and always has been, and who is with you right now and always has been. So as we wrap this up, we move into some possible next steps for you. One of the simplest sources of hope that we try to make available regularly is our devotional. And our summer devotional is really special, written by 15 of our staff members, including personal stories, testimonies of God showing up to bring hope. It's an awesome encouragement. There are some creative elements in there. A really simple way for you to connect to the hope of God's truth. The next thing I would say is if you haven't, or even if you have, Check out Right Now Media. It's a monthly subscription that we provide so that all these online, thousands of them, resources are available to you for free. And two that I would direct you to check out specifically this week. One is the Book of Ruth, study by Bianca Juarez-Olthoff. And reviews of it are amazing. I checked a little bit of it out. It really can help walk you out of despair and hopelessness and into hope. And then there's a study called If, by Mark Batterson, and this really is about all those what ifs, the if only, and all the regret that we live in when we look back at our stories sometimes, and it helps to re-image it with God's presence leading the way, and it can walk you into hope. I'd also say that maybe you're somebody who lives in a new hope. You've been through this kind of journey before, and it means so much to you. It's so deep for you. But you haven't been baptized. Well, maybe it's time to demonstrate the hope you live in by being baptized, because it'll be a sign of hope, not just for your own story, but for all those gathered there to see what God has done in you. Our annual summer baptism service, Splash, is coming up on August 11th. So check out the class, sign up and become part of what I would say is maybe the most meaningful expression we have, baptism, of the hope that we've found in Jesus. And then lastly, And this is from me to you, more of just a personal, reflective, internal next step. If you're facing the unexpected and you're back in a place of feeling hopeless and defeated and very afraid, remember what you already know about how this works. Whatever you're in the middle of, however unexpected or painful it might be, lift your eyes. Look beyond the circumstance alone. Look for real hope and take steps. God will lead you if you're open, if you ask him. Take steps to embrace hope, not just as one possible option, but as reality. I promise you that whatever it is you're facing, the light of real and lasting hope can begin to shine for you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that what is unexpected to us is never unexpected to you. I thank you that the unexpected is not the end of the story. It's the beginning of our hope. Thank you that by faith, we can put our trust in you to work in unseen ways to bring about your purposes in this world, in our lives. Thank you that we are not defeated by the unexpected. And when we're shaken, we can trust that you never let us go. Thank you that you use the unexpected uniquely to show us who we are, who you are. Thank you that you lead us over time in so many ways to not just embrace hope, but to become people of hope who would never give up in the moment, but who hold on to and hold out for hope. Today in this moment, thank you for seeing what we can't see, for loving us toward those places where we're meant to go, and for using our stories of the unexpected to advance a kingdom of salvation, love, and hope in the name of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.